Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Now, this is kind of a random start. Well, not kind of. It is a random start. So I'm just scrolling through the Fox News radio headlines here, trying to do my last little bit of show prep here as the show kicks off. And there's a story here about a Harvard researcher being arrested. Let me give you the quick rundown here. Where was it? Oh, yeah. Chris DeMayo has the report. A Harvard researcher is charged with trying to smuggle frog embryos into the United States. So a Harvard researcher charged with trying to smuggle frog embryos into the United States. Now, of course, if that same Harvard researcher was apparently trying to resurrect a 10,000-year-old extinct wolf, no problem. They're all about these massive, you know, a few frog embryos, going to jail. But try to resurrect some crazy, nasty, dire wolf with potentially dire consequences from 10,000 years ago. Yeah, we'll give you a cover in Time magazine. Anyway, that's just my initial reaction just to seeing that story right there. I'll keep flipping through the Fox News radio stories just to make sure I haven't missed anything from the national news front. But, yeah, hey, this morning, speaking of Fox News, this morning as I was driving into the studios here, it was kind of fun. I was listening to a Trump rally. Well, it was a Trump speech. He was there rallying the troops at Al-Udeid Air Force Base in Qatar. You know, he's doing this massive, incredible, historic, as Newt Gingrich calls it, trip to the Middle East, to these Gulf states. And we had a great conversation with the University of Montana's Dr. Merdad Kia yesterday in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. But it was so fun listening to Trump. I mean, It was about 4 a.m., 4:30 in the morning, Montana time, as Trump is talking to the troops over in Qatar. Now, what I think is just remarkable, so that's about, 6:30 in the morning, Washington, D.C. time, on the time, the East Coast time that President Trump is normally on, whether he's back at Trump Tower in New York or down at Mar-a-Lago in Florida or back at the White House in Washington, D.C. And so, If his speech is taking place at what would normally be 6 o'clock in the morning for him, that means obviously he had to get up even earlier than that to get ready, get the suit on, do the nice little motorcade over to the base and more. And so I'm just thinking about this. It's like, some might say, well, President Trump's an early riser in the morning. But wait, he's up late working for the American people, too. I mean, you guys remember when he was at the field house in Bozeman at Montana State University for the big Trump rally there last August, I think that was, trying to keep the dates square here. And, man, we were there till, almost midnight, maybe even after midnight, close to midnight. And he was still there, still talking, still on his feet. And so just remarkable. This guy puts in the work for the American people, but it was kind of funny. Part of me was thinking, man, I should probably be listening to the news right now so I can get some quick hits of information. But I'm like, I'm just enjoying this Trump speech so much. He was talking about when he first met General Raisin Kane, and he talked about how all these TV generals told him it was going to take years to defeat ISIS. And he sees General Raisin Kane on the ground. He says, Mr. President, we can get it done in 3 weeks. And they did. All right, back after this. Let's talk about it.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With considerable cloudiness, allowing some developing showers today, especially in the afternoon. High temperatures from 53 in Bozeman to 63 in Billings. For tonight, a few showers around early, followed by lows in the upper 30s in Bozeman to the mid-40s in Billings. And then on Friday, we'll see breaks of sun and some clouds with a few afternoon showers still possible. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Securing America.
A Senate Armed Services Subcommittee hearing this week focused on the state of U.S. missile defense. Republican Senator Deb Fischer of Nebraska stating why she's concerned about that issue.
Our adversaries continue to improve and diversify their ability to hold the homeland at risk, including through ballistic, hypersonic, and cruise missiles.
The commander of U.S. Northern Command and NORAD, Air Force General Gregory Guillot, testified that's why the defense missile mission is more important than ever. while Andrea Yaffe, a Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense, said that shows why Congress's support is so critical.
The financial outlays of missile defense and missile defeat today more than offset the exponentially greater costs that would be incurred by the lack of defenses in a potential conflict tomorrow.
General Guillot adding simply,
we can't defeat what we can't see.
All witnesses also testified about the importance of programs such as President Trump's proposed Golden Dome. Kevin Uretzky, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Hey, let's get to this one first here this morning. Yesterday in the 8 o'clock hour, not only did we have a great conversation with Dr. Mehrdad Kia from the University of Montana, we also had a great conversation with Gallatin County Sheriff Dan Springer talking about the illegal aliens and the crime and more in Bozeman and Gallatin County and what he's going to do to continue working with ICE to continue protecting the community in the face of what I would say is being undermined by the Democrat Gallatin County attorney and the Democrat County commissioners there. Speaking of law enforcement, at the tail end of our interview, of course, the sheriff paid tribute to the fallen here, especially during National Police Week. Some great information here from U.S. Attorney Kurt Almy. In honor of National Police Week, U.S. Attorney Kurt Almy, who is a U.S. attorney here in Montana, is recognizing the public service and sacrifice of federal, state, local, and tribal law enforcement. This year, the week is observed from Sunday, May 11th through Saturday, May 17th. U.S. Attorney Kurt Almy said, quote, "This week we recognize the men and women in law enforcement who risk their lives every day to protect us, often while the rest of us are sleeping. Too many have sacrificed their lives to make our communities safer. We honor their bravery and reaffirm our support for every law enforcement officer in Montana and across the United States. On behalf of all of us in the United States Attorney's Office, I extend my heartfelt appreciation to them and their families." In 1962, President Kennedy issued the first proclamation for Peace Officers Memorial Day and National Police Week to remember and honor law enforcement officers for their service and sacrifices. Peace Officers Memorial Day, which every year falls on May 15th, specifically honors law enforcement officers killed or disabled in the line of duty. The names of the fallen officers added this year to the wall at the National Law Enforcement Officer Memorial will be were read on Monday during the 37th annual Candlelight Vigil in Washington, D.C. So thanks to U.S. Attorneys Kurt Almy and his office for sharing that information. And thanks to all the men and women out there in law enforcement. All right, let's see. Man, we got a caller already on the phone lines here. So what the heck? Let's start with one of your phone calls here. 406-294-0970. Tom in Billings, what's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, Aaron. I just wanted to bring up a little thing about Article 3 in our Supreme Court of the United States. The Supreme Court has to be in good standing. They have violated the laws of the Constitution. They've overstepped their boundaries of Article 1, 2, and 3. They are bound by Article 3. And Montana has a law in their state constitution that the Supreme Court and the district and courts in the state of Montana have to follow. They're not there to interpret the law. They're there to uphold the law. And they are not doing that. So the Montana Supreme Court can be censured by Congress and the United States Supreme Court, violating Article 3, can be censured by the Senate and Congress. We have two senators, we have two congressmen in Washington, and I love these guys, but I'm hearing crickets. We need to either defund or do a constitutional revision that eliminates the filibuster, and we can defund the U.S. Supreme Court and the Montana Supreme Court.
All right. Well, Tom, thanks for the call. Good to hear from you. Speaking of the courts, I really hope conservatives and really, frankly, everyday Montanans are taking these Supreme Court elections more seriously heading into next year. In fact, I just sent out a tweet, a post on X earlier this morning here just about, under an hour ago. You guys have probably seen the headlines here. Here we go again. So the Montana legislature passed a bill. Governor Gianforte signed it into law protecting kids from this radical transgender agenda. The Democrats literally want to be able to chop body parts off of kids in the name of their radical transgender agenda. And so now, yet again, another judge from Missoula. You probably saw the headline here, or the opening paragraph. I think Jonathan Amberian had a report. There were other print reports as well. A district court judge in Missoula. Here we go again. A district court judge in Missoula. So basically, let me find the headline here. I think it's higher up on the Montana politics. I haven't gotten through my stack of stuff yet, as you can tell. Yeah, here we go. Jonathan Amberian had this on X. A district court judge in Missoula, which is another way of saying a far left wacko, struck down a 2023 state law that prohibits gender-affirming health care for transgender youth in Montana. But the decision is already going to be appealed. So I think he's reporting that, of course, our great attorney general, best attorney general in the country, Austin Knutson, is going to appeal this absurd decision. But then, of course, it goes to, the Montana Supreme Court, which, while we have a new chief justice who is a significant improvement on the Montana Supreme Court, you still got a far left mob that has a majority on the Montana Supreme Court. And so I sent out a post on X, under an hour ago. I said, when Montana Democrats and liberal judges talk about focusing on kitchen table issues, what they really mean is breaking out the knives to chop body parts off of kids. A district court judge in Missoula. Remember all of these crazy decisions for the Supreme Court elections taking place here in Montana next year. And Judge Dan Wilson, by the way, throwing his name back into the hat here for this as well. So he's jumping back into the ring, which I think is good news.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
A recession is when your neighbor loses their job. A depression is when you lose yours, or so the old joke goes. And with that in mind, we come to the proposed cuts in National Science Foundation, or NSF, that funds a lot of research, including projects carried out by centers like ours. And so this is a bad thing, yes? We researchers are well positioned to tell you how vital all the work we do is and how the cuts make no sense. But the details of NSF spending take some of the steam out of this outrage. The agency has 37 divisions, 8 directorates, spending $9 billion with a staff of 1,700. The budgets of many of its research grants are padded with fat overhead percentages that recipients spend however they wish. The other side of the story, of course, is that the research the NSF has funded has had huge impacts, giving us things like the internet and cancer drugs. It's arguably part of the innovation advantage the U.S. still enjoys over our competitors. I'm Patrick Parkin.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. The House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee nixed a $20 universal vehicle registration fee for all passenger vehicles in the U.S. This was supposed to be a provision in the Big Beautiful Bill. That decision to remove the fee came after an insurrection from conservatives. The initial plan was to greatly boost highway and infrastructure funding over 10 years and phase out the federal gas tax, which pays for highways. Lawmakers also changed the committee's math for funding air traffic control modernization in the text. The provisions would provide $12.5 billion for the modernization, down from $15 billion. In the mix, new fees on all electric vehicles. $200 on electric vehicles, $100 for hybrid vehicles, and $20 for all other vehicles. Republicans hope this is a way to pay for their tax cuts and reap revenue to make the bill as budget neutral as possible. Republicans promise that EVs will pay their share for highway repairs as EV and hybrid vehicle use has risen. Gas-powered vehicles have become more fuel efficient. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Now don't let the Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Wayne Northland, and this is the Western Ag Network. The spread of the New World screwworm in Mexico has prompted the U.S. to close its border to live cattle imports from Mexico. And in response, Representatives Tony Gonzalez and Senator John Corn of Texas have introduced the Stop Screwworms Act, aimed to establish a sterile fly production facility in the U.S. to combat the pest. Currently, sterile New World screwworm flies are produced in Panama through a U.S.-Panama partnership, but the facility struggles to meet growing demand. The National Cattlemen's Beef Association supports the bill and border closure, warning of the historical damage the screwworm has caused before eradication in the 1960s. Sterile fly releases are critical since screwworm flies mate only once, making the technique effective for population control.
Montana Farmers Union's commitment to education, FFA, and 4-H means that young producers have an advocate in their corner from the beginning. Montana youth are able to take advantage of member-driven educational programming, such as Future Ranchers Cow Camp and Ag-focused day camps that offer hands-on learning experiences, as well as peer-to-peer and expert mentoring.
Learn more today by visiting MontanaFarmersUnion.com.
Meet your new ally in the battle against weeds. Cohort is a next-level adjuvant designed to strengthen herbicides requiring an AMS. As the ultimate companion for post-emergence applications, Cohort helps herbicides produce faster, more complete weed control while ensuring consistent and effective performance. Trade in your dry AMS bag this season for multiple technologies in one convenient liquid. Contact your local Helena representative or authorized dealer for more information about Cohort. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
Returning back this morning, while I was attending the World Angus Forum, a part of the event was the Zoetis World Angus Youth Competition. The international event brought together young Angus leaders ages 18 to 25 from around the globe to compete in various assets of the Angus business. I caught up with two members of Team USA, one of those being Claire Stevenson of Montana.
The World Angus Forum Youth Contest consists of multiple different events, everything from livestock judging to fitting, showing. We just got done with a debate where we were in the finals, luckily, and we have a variety of other little modules that we've been a part of, such as bush mechanics.
Serving as captain of Team USA is Oregon's John Winares.
Really, the overarching theme of this particular contest is adaptability as well as teamwork, and how fast can you manipulate the team to their strengths to figure out a task at hand, because realistically so many of these things are different from many of our practices at home, but many of us have been able to figure it out and adapt to those different challenges. Specifically, the EBVs and EPDs are entirely different from country to country, so sometimes thinking on our feet and selecting bulls is just a little bit difficult. So learning to change our mindset has been one of the biggest factors, and we've really seen some success with just rolling with the punches. It's been really fun.
Ayers is wrapping up her undergrad degree at Oklahoma State University and plans on attending law school, while Claire Stevenson is wrapping up her graduate degree at the University of Georgia. Joining these outstanding young ladies are Tucker Stagemeyer of Nebraska and Garrett Hinsicker of Illinois, all representing Team USA. And this was the first time the U.S. had a team in the World Angus Youth Competition, and when all the points were tallied, they walked away as the grand champion team. Congratulations to these four outstanding young leaders in the livestock business on their grand championship. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Wayne Nordlund.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump into this. I wanted to play this one for you yesterday, but we were joking about the plane, the Qatari plane that's being donated to the United States of America, and the left is in a freakout mode over it, which is just hilarious because, you know, they have no problem giving your money to all these other countries, but somebody else from another country wants to give our country something, and now they're freaking out here. Senator Steve Daines was on Fox Business with Stu Varney talking about President Trump's historic trip to the Middle East this week, along with President Trump's trade talks with China. You remember that Senator Steve Daines went to China on behalf of President Trump as well to really jumpstart a lot of these conversations. But first, before he got into China trade and much more, Stu Varney asked Senator Steve Daines about Da Plane.
Well, you heard the president himself. You can't beat free. But remember, this is a gift to the United States government, not to President Trump. This will be done with full disclosure, with complete transparency and daylight. But I think the president's got it right. It's a gift, but it'll be to the United States government, not to President Trump himself.
Okay, let's take the big picture for a second. What do you think is the most important thing that could come out of Trump's meetings in Saudi Arabia?
Well, I was in Saudi just a couple of weeks ago. Saudi Arabia is one of the most important players in the Middle East, and Saudi Arabia seeks to move from being just a regional power to being a global power through the reforms from Crown Prince and Prime Minister MBS. But there's an amazing moment here in history. As we think about, this is really the first state visit that President Trump has taken since he took office. Remember, it was the first state visit he took when he was president during his last administration. So it sends a strong message, the important role that Saudi Arabia plays, not only in the region, but in the world. There is another chapter written building on the Abraham Accords, one of the great breakthroughs of peace in the Middle East, led by President Trump. There is a moment at some point when Saudi Arabia could renormalize their relationship with Israel, a Jewish state of Israel. That will come sometime in the future. But at the moment, there's tremendous deals to be had. They're talking about at least $600 billion of investment. That may even grow larger. We'll see what President Trump comes out with. But he is leading. It is peace through strength. The Middle East respects a strong leader. They exploit weakness like they did with Joe Biden. They respect President Trump. I heard that message 2 weeks ago when I was in Saudi Arabia. I think you're going to see a very successful visit by President Trump and his team as they go through the Middle East.
All right. And then when they talked about China trade in particular, Senator Daines contrasted the Biden administration with the Trump administration, talking about how the Chinese exploited the weakness of Joe Biden during his 4 years. And the Chinese openly admitted that, by the way, here over the past few days, that, oh, yeah, they took advantage of Joe Biden. They could get away with whatever they wanted with Joe Biden in the White House. So he talks about really now the United States is at a position of strength with Secretary Bessent, Ambassador Greer, President Trump, and the recent talks in Geneva were a sign of that very thing. Back into it here. Phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. Let me go to a Montana-specific story. This was something that came up yesterday, I think, here in this 6 o'clock hour of the show. We were talking about refugees from South Africa. Refugees from South Africa. It was a topic of conversation that came up yesterday. And we were talking about how crazy it is that, okay, you have literally have white farmers that are being murdered, that are being slaughtered. You had a white pastor that was held at gunpoint. And by the way, the good news update on that story is South African police went in and killed every single one of his captors and freed that white pastor. I can't remember if he's an American pastor or not, if he's a South African guy. But anyway, so the pastor is free. The captors were all killed in a shootout with police there. So that's the update on that story. But yeah, apparently there's South African refugees. What did they say, about 50 of them? Yeah, eventually. But a family of South Africans has already arrived in Missoula, Montana. And the Montana Free Press is it's a very liberal outfit. It's a partisan Democrat publication. But they are trying to do real journalism, but you can tell they're definitely partisan Democrats, especially on the environmental issues and things like that. But Jeremy Carl, the senior fellow at the Claremont Institute who lives in Bozeman, he was the first to point this out. What an amazing headline from the Montana Free Press here. This was their headline. Family of South Africans dubbed refugees by the federal government arrives in Missoula. Did you catch that? Family of South Africans dubbed refugees by the federal government arrives in Missoula. NBC Montana had the same story that they copy and pasted from this liberal news organization. And they put it on their website as if it was NBC Montana's news. And they shared this on X. A South African family labeled as refugees by the U.S. Department of State arrived in Missoula on Monday evening, according to a spokesperson for the Refugee Relief Organization International Rescue Committee. Do you hear what they're doing here? Dubbed, labeled as. Everybody else wasn't dubbed a refugee. Everybody else wasn't labeled as refugees. We didn't have air quotes around all of the other so-called refugees, all of the other so-called asylum seekers. When the guy from Afghanistan was arrested for allegedly raping a young woman in downtown Missoula, he wasn't dubbed as or labeled as an asylee or whatever the freak they called him. But white farmers, they get dubbed as, they get labeled as. That's what Jeremy Carl had pointed out on X. Go to x.com/Aaron Flint to check it out.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, do you guys remember how the left-wing media here in Montana was clutching their pearls over the Syrian refugee debate back in 2016? Then we couldn't get our friends out of Afghanistan, the people that were actually working with us. Hell, Joe Biden left American citizens behind in Afghanistan. But then they threw anybody on the bus, threw anybody on the airplane, and then dumped him in places like Missoula, Montana. And then they just called them asylees. We're going to call you refugees. We're going to call you asylees with no real vetting, any of that. They claim they do vetting, but what are you vetting against? You have no information on these people. You have nothing to vet them against. It was a total sham. And so now they get a handful of white people that come in as refugees, and all of a sudden now, well, they're labeled as refugees. They're dubbed as refugees. Are they refugees or not? You had no problem legitimizing millions of people that the Biden regime just blanketly allowed to come into this country. They abused the refugee process. They abused the asylee process. When they were coming from jihadi zones like Syria and other parts of the world, you guys were clutching your pearls. If anybody dared ask any questions about so-called or alleged refugees, you would have clutched your pearls if we dubbed those people as refugees, or if we said they were, quote, labeled refugees. Yeah, Jeremy Carl first called this out, dubbed refugees. Amazing headline from the Montana Free Press. Somehow I've never heard other refugees with far less political validity for their claims described that way by a Montana paper. Oh, man. And then I saw the NBC Montana one where it had even more from that headline there, because basically they copy and pasted this story from the Montana Free Press, because that's what more and more news outlets are doing now. They're not doing their own news. They're cutting their own news staff. And if they're even doing real news in the first place and not just Democrat Party propaganda. And then they just copy and paste from these liberal dark money news sources that are funded by Democrat Party mega donors. I mean, really, that's why the media in part is in such a mess right now. By the way, speaking of the media being in such a mess right now, the Billings Gazette building has now been officially sold, and they're printing the newspaper from Bozeman. They're not even printing the Billings Gazette in Billings anymore. They're printing the Billings Gazette in Bozeman. Yeah, but you never see the printed version anymore anyway, so does it really matter where they're printing it? Because do you see the printed version of it anywhere? I think I saw it at a gas station once. I was like, and it was like stumbling across an ancient relic. I was like, oh,
what do we have here? It's a print edition of the Billings Gazette. I was like, wow, was like, holy cow. I felt like I should have been walking around in some Monty Python night costume or something, LARPing out there at the gas station, because I saw this ancient relic of a print edition of the Billings Gazette. Now, I see the Big Sky Business Journal and the Yellowstone County News. I see their print edition all over the place. By the way, where are you guys printing that? Jonathan McNiven, you listening right now? Where are you printing that? Big Sky Business Journal, where are you printing that? But, you know, of course, Big Sky Business Journal covers the whole state as well here. But, yeah, just a complete sham here by the media. Oh, a handful of, white people that would have been murdered and slaughtered in South Africa show up as refugees, and now they get labeled as refugees or dubbed refugees. All right, let's go back to President Trump's historic trip in the Middle East. I mentioned just earlier this morning, about 2 hours ago, he was still speaking live to the troops at Al Udeid Air Base in Qatar. I had a great conversation yesterday with Dr. Mehrdad Kia from the University of Montana, and maybe we'll play part of that for you tomorrow in the 9 o'clock hour for Freedom Friday. But Newt Gingrich was on with Jesse Waters last night recapping this historic trip so far by President Trump.
This is a historic, extraordinary moment. President Trump's speech yesterday in Riyadh was one of the most defining speeches of trying to move the world forward in a practical, realistic way. The relationship he has with Saudi Arabia is probably going to be worth 200,000 or 300,000 American jobs. The relationship he's going to have in Qatar, which, by the way, has the largest American base in the Middle East, about 10,000 troops, has been a complicated but firm ally of ours for a very long time because they're terrified of the Iranians. The decision, I don't know how long the decision cycle was. My hunch is it was a couple of days at most. The decision to meet with the Syrian president and to take the gamble of lowering the sanctions, trying to lure him into an alliance with Turkey and Saudi Arabia, who'd asked Trump to do this, I am certain this was President Trump's personal decision to take the risk. Normal presidents would have had teams look at it for 6 months in timidity, and he thought, you know, here's a chance to change history, and it was historic. So you've captured tonight, Jesse, I think people should realize these last couple days are among the most remarkable we've seen with an American president, and it is a tribute to Trump's long-term relationship with the Crown Prince in Saudi Arabia, to his commitment to the Abraham Accords, and to the fact that he has the guts to take the risks that most presidents would never have taken.
And by the way, everything that Newt Gingrich was just saying right there, Dr. Mehrdad Kia, who grew up in Iran and is one of our nation's Middle East experts, who heads up the Southwest and Southeast Asian Studies Institute at the University of Montana, heads up their Middle Eastern program at the University of Montana. He's always been one of the most popular professors on that campus, too, by the way. He basically said everything and more that you just heard from Newt Gingrich, talking about what a remarkable trip this truly is. But we also talked about how, look, President Trump is eyes wide open in who he is dealing with over there, not just in the Middle East, in some of these countries that he's in right now, like Qatar and others, but he's eyes wide open when it comes to dealing with Syria and the Turks as well. So he knows exactly who he's dealing with here. While he was speaking to the troops in Qatar today, he talked about a pay raise for the troops and more. Peter Ducey, a White House correspondent for Fox News, has this report.
President Trump is also hoping his Qatari hosts can mediate Iran nuclear talks. The president also says he's looking to turn over a new leaf in Syria. A brief meeting with Syria's new president, Ahmed al-Shara, left the president very impressed. While in the Middle East, the president is also keeping an eye on Eastern Europe and Ukraine peace talks. Ukraine's Zelensky is on his way to Turkey for the talks. Zelensky has said he'll only meet with Putin, who is not planning to go.
All right, and what about a pay raise for the troops? Let's see, where did I put the soundbite? Here we go.
Here is President Trump at that rally with the troops earlier this morning.
My 2026 budget includes across the board. Maybe you don't want it. Look, for the good of the country, you don't have to take it. Pay raises for each and every one of you, substantial pay raises. But you don't have to take it.
All right. More to follow on that front as well, though. But, man, you know, wasn't it great last weekend? You look at the weather that we had across Montana. I don't know about you, but, man, I got out on Saturday. It was almost a 90-degree day. The water was still very cold, though, but it was nice to dip your feet in there. It was like having your own little cold plunge. I'll tell you what, if you weren't able to get out on the water last weekend, or maybe you weren't able to get out, get up in the mountains or get out to your favorite, viewing location, shall we say, if you don't have a camper, if you don't have a pontoon boat or a fishing boat, you name it, man, you got to go stop by and see our friends at Brett's RV and Marine. They've got the largest inventory in 5 states. When it comes to Montana, they've been voted quality RV dealer of the year in the USA. But just in Montana alone, they're the number one fifth wheel dealer, number one RV dealer, number one travel trailer dealer, number one motorhome dealer in Montana. They've got recognition for their boats as well here in the United States. But I'm telling you, if you want to get out and enjoy, why do you live in Montana if you don't get out and enjoy the outdoors, if you don't get out and enjoy the water? And the other thing is, I don't know about you guys, I live in town. I'm sick of living in town. So the beauty of having a camper is you can have a different backyard every weekend. You know, some of you got a river in your backyard right now. You got a lake in your backyard, or you got mountains in your backyard right now. You got the open range in your backyard right now. Some of us are stuck in town. So the camper is the way I get to get out there and have a nice backyard like some of you got. Brett'sRV.com, or stop in their locations, Billings, Missoula, and Butte. All right, let's see. What do we got coming up here? I haven't even done a calendar recon. I wonder if David Noble's dropping in today. It is Thursday. Hopefully David Noble's in the house with us. I know sometimes he gets a little busy with his day job, but it's always fun to have David Noble in the house. I saw him up on X tweeting stuff out, so hopefully that's a sign of the nobility to come.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
The president could not be any more clear that the Iranians are not getting nuclear weapons. No way, no shape, no matter, no form. It just isn't happening. He said if Iran's leadership rejects the olive branch and continues to attack their neighbors, then we will have no choice but to inflict massive, maximum pressure. And he's been clear they will not ever, ever get a nuclear weapon. Now, on the other hand, he's holding out the olive branch. And that he said he would much rather make a deal with Iran and see Tehran prosper. The people of Iran have suffered greatly because the monies that they have taken in, they have used that money to foment terror in the region. They're the number one state sponsor of terror.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
We've got trade wars, inflation, skyrocketing national debt, and a potential recession looming. It's no wonder gold keeps hitting record highs. With everything going on in the world, thousands of hardworking Americans are looking to diversify their savings with precious metals like gold and silver. And they're turning to the top-rated gold company, Gold Co. With over 6,000 five-star customer reviews, an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau, and the industry's highest buyback guarantee, Gold Co. is the preferred precious metals company of thousands of Americans. Right now, Gold Co. is offering you a free 2025 gold and silver kit. Plus, you could get unlimited bonus silver if you qualify. Find out how you can help diversify your savings, tax and penalty free today. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD. That's HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With considerable cloudiness along with some developing showers today, especially in the afternoon. High temperatures from 53 in Bozeman to 63 in Billings. For tonight, a few showers around early, followed by lows in the upper 30s in Bozeman to the mid-40s in Billings. And then on Friday, we'll see breaks of sun and some clouds with a few afternoon showers still possible. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. All 4 hours of the show every day goes on our Montana Talks podcast. You can get it on the Montana Talks app, or if you use streaming services like Spotify, you can get the Montana Talks podcast there as well. If you only listen to one segment of the podcast, listen to Wednesday's 8 o'clock hour. We had Gallatin County Sheriff Dan Springer. We had Dr. Merdad Kia from the University of Montana, and much more, including a reporter from the Big Timber Pioneer.
It's morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Hey, thankfully, David Noble Nobility returns to the Montana Talk studios here. Yeah, good to see you. I was like, man, sometimes he gets busy with his day job. You know, he's got a very important day job. But I saw you posting on X. So I was like, okay, that's a good sign of things to come.
Well, you know, I was listening to that great little clip from Newt Gingrich. And it's so cool that Newt Gingrich, you know, Speaker of the House in the 90s, balanced the budget in the 90s to be able to get Newt Gingrich's input on the issues of the day, the current events of the day, is just so cool. And what I was thinking when I was listening to Newt Gingrich, I was thinking to myself, when Aaron Flint is as old as Newt Gingrich, are you going to be giving us political commentary on Montana politics at that, when you're his age?
How old is Newt Gingrich now?
Oh, he's got to be in his 60s or 70s, I think.
He's got to be 70s at least.
70s, yeah.
Man, yeah, you know, it's
maybe
funny.
80s, I don't know. He looks good for his age.
When he looks the same he did in the 1990s. Yeah. He's like the same Newt. You know, it's funny. When I was a student at Howard University, you know, Gingrich, was he still Speaker of the House by then? Or anyway, but yeah, I mean, he was Speaker of the House in the 1990s when you and I were both kids. And, well, you know, they say that the funny thing about talk radio is this is inside baseball. Most people that get into talk radio, they get into talk radio later in life, because oftentimes they're radio people that did a music, you know, format morning show. Maybe they had a country station, maybe they had a rock station. And then they kind of age out of those formats, and so then they just naturally go to talk radio. So it's kind of funny. I actually started in talk radio at 29 years old, and much older now. But yeah, I mean, man, you could do something like this all the way up till who knows when, until you start getting, you know, to be a little cognitively declined like Joe Biden, then they should probably show you the door. It's the nice thing to do, right?
Yeah, no, I would love to hear what you have to say, you know, here in 40 years of doing this show.
Well, did you ever watch the movie Legends of the Fall?
I did not.
Oh, you got to watch the movie.
You got to remember, Aaron, I grew up without a TV. We had no TV.
I know. And that's a good thing, too, because that's why you're so well-read with all these good books. Well, you got to watch Legends of the Fall, because this is like, to me, this is kind of like A River Runs Through It. It's one of those Montana movies. So it had Brad Pitt in it. It had Anthony Hopkins. You know who Anthony Hopkins is? And you know, they live on this Montana ranch back in the – but anyway, people who have seen the movie will get it. So Anthony Hopkins is this old colonel who's mad at the government because he didn't like what the government forced him to do in Indian country especially, right? But he gets a little older and cognitively declined. Well, he still has his brain, but he doesn't have a lot of his faculties, so he can't really speak. So I'm going to be like Anthony Hopkins in Legends of the Fall in about 30 years, where I'm just going to have a chalkboard and I'm just going to growl, rah, 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 government, rah, and I'm just going to write things on the chalkboard about how angry I am at the government. Unless Trump fixes everything
I'll be sure to give you phone calls during that time.
Yeah. Well, that's a better question. Where will David Noble be? I mean, you should be hosting a show like this, man.
I'm just waiting for somebody to listen to the show and think I'm doing a good enough job to say, hey, do you want a Saturday show on 9:30?
Hey, that'd be cool. That'd be awesome.
Or you know what I have heard? I've heard some people don't like Clay and Buck taking over Bongino's slot, and they've said that they think I ought to go to KBUL here and say, hey, you ought to put me on during Rush Limbaugh's
show. Could you do it? Could you do it?
I couldn't.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're too busy with your day job. Right. Otherwise, man, it'd be awesome. It would be really cool to do like an afternoon drive show as well, like a Montana Focus.
Yeah.
And you could still carry Mark Levin. Maybe you carry him a little bit later, because how likely are your phone calls to get through anyway? So we could still get Levin a little later. And then, yeah, it'd be cool to have something like that.
To have another Montana show would be
for
very
that
cool.
afternoon yeah. drive. Yeah. And still mix in the great national content as well. Yeah.
Or just to have more of the great David Noble on the air.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. The great David Noble. Your wife must be listening, because that's the only time you stress that is if
yes,
she's
always,
listening.
Always.
All right. Hey, I want to talk about the measles. Did you hear about the measles cases in Bozeman?
Did you do another MontanaTalks.com story on that?
I just did an update on it. Everybody's fine. They're all fully recovered. But I have some thoughts on it. I think you do, too. Plus, RFK Jr. schooled this Democrat congresswoman on the topic of measles yesterday. Wait till you hear that back
and
forth.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
A recession is when your neighbor loses their job. A depression is when you lose yours, or so the old joke goes. And with that in mind, we come to the proposed cuts in National Science Foundation, or NSF, that funds a lot of research, including projects carried out by centers like ours. And so this is a bad thing, yes? We researchers are well positioned to tell you how vital all the work we do is and how the cuts make no sense. But the details of NSF spending take some of the steam out of this outrage. The agency has 37 divisions, 8 directorates, spending $9 billion with a staff of 1,700. The budgets of many of its research grants are padded with fat overhead percentages that recipients spend however they wish. The other side of the story, of course, is that the research the NSF has funded has had huge impacts, giving us things like the internet and cancer drugs. It's arguably part of the innovation advantage the U.S. still enjoys over our competitors. I'm Patrick Parkin.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.